From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. President Obama and former President Bill Clinton met today in the Oval Office, with the pair emerging to address reporters. The former president announcing he is in full support of President Obama's deal with Republicans to extend tax cuts for all Americans. As for Mr. Obama, he reiterated why the compromise, despite angering some within his own party, will boost the economy.
Provide billions of dollars in payroll tax cuts that can immediately help rejuvenate the economy, as well as tax cuts for middle-class families, unemployment insurance for folks who desperately need it.
Meeting between the two men comes at a time President Obama faces major challenges not unlike those Mr. Clinton faced during his first term with the resurgent Republican Party. A filibuster on the floor of the Senate today, where Vermont Senator Bernard Sanders is fighting the tax cut deal put forth by the Obama administration. NPR's David Wellner has more on what Sanders apparently hopes to achieve with his filibuster.
I think that Senator Sanders' objective is to call attention to the fact that the Senate is about to hold key votes on the tax cut agreement that President Obama struck with Republican leaders. And he has the right to hold the floor and speak without limit until the Senate holds a vote on Monday to cut off that debate. If they get 60 votes, he'll have to stop talking. But in the meantime, he's garnered quite a bit of attention.
NPR's David Wellner. Federal jury has convicted Brian David Mitchell in connection with the Elizabeth Smart case. Mitchell, an itinerant street preacher who claimed he was told by God to abduct Smart when she was just 14 years old, sang loudly through the reading of the verdict. Smart, now 23, told the jury over the course of the lengthy trial how she was forced into a polygamous marriage and raped by Mitchell on a near daily basis. Speaking outside the courthouse in Utah, Smart said she feels vindicated by the verdict.
I hope that not only is this an example that justice can be served in America, but that it is possible to move on after something terrible has happened, and that we can speak out and we will be heard.
Brian David Mitchell will be sentenced in May. A.J. Wright retail chain is closing down when it goes to 4,400 stores, mainly on the East Coast. From WBUR in Boston, we get details from Kurt Nickisch.
The TJX company is closing its 162 A.J. Wright stores. 71 will shut down completely. Those workers, many of them part-time, lose their jobs. The rest of the stores will be converted to TJX's other discount brands, TJ Maxx, Marshalls, or Home Goods. The Massachusetts company says it is eliminating its A.J. Wright division so it can focus on those more profitable brands. Most of the A.J. Wright stores will stay open through the holiday shopping season, but then close in January. For NPR News, I'm Kurt Nickisch in Boston.
On Wall Street, investors still waiting to see what Washington does with the tax cut deal. The Dow was up 40 points today to end the week. The Nasdaq gained 20 points. You're listening to NPR. A Palestinian negotiator is laying the blame for the current stalled state of Mideast peace talks firmly on Israel. Emerging from a meeting today with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, negotiator Saeb Erekat said the Israeli government had a choice between building settlements and peace, and it chose settlements. Palestinian officials say they won't return to the talks without a construction freeze. Secretary of State Clinton has been meeting with both sides, trying to come up with a way to jumpstart the stalled negotiations. A suicide rights group has filed a first-of-its-kind free speech lawsuit against the state of Georgia. As Ricky Bevington reports from Georgia Public Broadcasting, it comes as four of the group's members ask a judge to dismiss charges they helped a cancer patient end his life.
The Final Exit Network claims Georgia's statute against assisted suicide is unconstitutionally vague and violates free speech. State law makes it a felony to commit any overt act to further the purpose of suicide. The Final Exit Network's Frank Cavanaugh says the group's volunteers know the difference between speech and action.
We're very careful about what we do, not to physically assist, not to provide the means, simply to provide the information and counseling. We're willing to be there, but we don't physically assist that operation in any way.
A Metro Atlanta judge has not ruled on a request by four of the network's members to dismiss their case. They were indicted in March on charges they helped a Georgia cancer patient end his life in 2008. For NPR News, I'm Ricky Bevington in Atlanta.
The nation's pool of red ink got a bit deeper last month. The government announcing the federal budget shortfall rose to just over $150 billion in November, with deficits likely to climb even higher if Congress passes a plan to cut taxes, which is expected to add $850 billion additional dollars to the shortfall. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News, in Washington.